one of the most helpful resources I had when I was fighting and overcoming pancreatic cancer was the writing and work of Pastor Kenneth E. Hagin. And any of his books can be purchased from the website www.rhema.org or can be called 1-888-28-FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. The particular book that helped me the most was his Healing Bible Study course, which tells of his amazing healing testimony, his personal testimony. The other one is the Healing Scriptures. And I'd just like to read you a little bit of his explanation for why the Healing Scriptures helped him so much and are so important. He starts out by reading Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Pastor Hagin points out that in the margin of his King James translation, Proverbs 4:22 reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So he teaches that God's word is medicine to all your flesh, but you need to learn how to make God's medicine, how to take God's medicine in order to get it to work for you. He, as many others, teach that we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because the Bible tells us that in Romans 10. But the truth is, it won't do us a lot of good in the world if we just hear it over and over again for hours, if we continue to think wrong and talk wrong. So besides hearing the scriptures and taking in the power of the scriptures, it's important that we understand that how we receive the scriptures is taking medicine properly. Just as we would take secular medicine that a doctor prescribed according to directions, it's important to take God's medicine. We need to think like this. We need to think, as Hagin says, I'm taking my medicine, God's word. God's medicine always works. It never fails. So say that to yourself and think on that, and you'll get God's word working for you. So we have to remember that God's word created the universe. He spoke the universe into being, and his word never ends. We have to remember that Jesus was the Word, is the Word, made flesh. And that flesh, that bread of life, is our healing. And we already have it, but we have to think about it properly. We have to speak about it properly, because even though we have our healing, it may not be manifesting in our bodies. So how we think and how we speak and what we listen to, confessing God's word out loud, brings that power into our very beings so that we can take our medicine properly and heal from it. So, as soon as possible, read the scriptures out loud to yourself, and I suggest that you order the Healing Scriptures booklet from Rhema Ministries at the numbers that I gave you. They are in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's just a very good resource. Other resources include Dodie Osteen's book, Healed of Cancer, which includes her testimony for being healed of last stage metastatic cancer of the liver back in 1981, I believe it was, and she is still going strong in 2012 when this is being recorded. Another great scripture is Scripture Confessions, and that can be ordered from www.harrisonhouse.com, HarrisonHouse.com. Those are scriptural confessions that you can find great power in if you confess them daily. Another great resource is Charles Capp's wonderful little booklet, God's creative power, in which he teaches a great deal on how God's word will work for you as medicine. And we'll be sharing some of those in another CD. I'm going to begin reading these to you, hoping that you will receive them and think of yourself as starting to move power within your body, your physical body, the creative power of God's Word, the same creative power of His Word that created the universe. Your healing is recreation in your body. And so we're going to start with Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10, which is the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples and us to pray, known as the Lord's Prayer, and in some churches known as the Holy Eucharist, or the Our Father, used with the Holy Eucharist. Verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. We know that there is no sickness in heaven. And if Jesus taught his disciples to pray for his will to be done on earth as in heaven, we know then that it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. 1 John 5:14, 15, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews 12, 12 through 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not change. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That tells us that our righteousness we get through Christ Jesus. We can't be good enough, but through Christ we have complete righteousness because it's his righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15, And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none or permit none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of the diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. Jeremiah 30:17, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6, Behold, I will bring it in health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. God wants us healthy. Leviticus 26:3-9, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you know that through Jesus Christ, we have a new covenant, a better covenant than the Old Testament covenant, one in which Christ took our sins to the cross and substituted his righteousness in us. So we do not live by the law, but through love, we want to please God, our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. We know from that story that Hezekiah received 15 more years of healthy life. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and shows mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He wants our heart. He wants our love. Psalm 145:8-9, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23, touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 105:37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. When the children of Israel left Egypt, there were millions of them. And yet he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3, he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30 verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Now, Pastor Hagin teaches, as many others do, including a wonderful book by F.F. Bosworth called Christ the Healer, that healing is in the plan of redemption, which Jesus Christ fulfilled for us through his work on the cross. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he, Jesus, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The literal Hebrew says, surely he has lifted, carried, or borne our sickness or diseases and our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That is present tense. We are healed. And in order to get it to manifest in our bodies, it takes faith. And where does faith come? By hearing and speaking the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as the writer of Hebrews tells us. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah tells us we are healed, and that's a prophecy. Peter, later in the New Testament, tells me we already were healed. He's harking back to Isaiah's prophecy. And then Matthew tells us in chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Galatians 3, 13, 14, and 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree. That is the blessing that the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. The new covenant brings us into the blessings of Abraham. We become Abraham's seed. It's an inheritance through Christ. He willed it to us, and he died so that that will might be executed. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2, 10, 15. And we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. My note is that Jesus completed the work against the devil, and the devil is the source of all illness and sickness and pain. And by learning God's word and pulling God's word into our body, it brings our healing, because it brings the realization that the devil's a liar, that he really doesn't have the right, because of the work that Jesus did, because Jesus completed the work against the devil, against the prince of this world, against evil. Then we can claim our inheritance through Christ of our healing. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Not like the sacrifices of the Old Testament, where they had to sacrifice animals, and that didn't really wash away their sin. It just got them past their sin for a while. They lived by the law. We live by the grace of God. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And where is Jesus? Seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And so, my note here is that we are members of the body of Christ. We have the health of heaven available to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole entire spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to his next and second coming. Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. That's a prophecy about Jesus. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. If you have not had a good relationship with your parents, my note here is repent and forgive. And that will take away a legal handle for the enemy to grab to put sickness on you. Put the blood of Jesus on the sin. Put the glory light of Jesus' resurrection on the soul wounds caused by that sin. Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth, which is eternity, of course. 1 Chronicles 29:28, and he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Psalm 90:10, the day of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. God intends for us to have long lives. That's the message here. Psalm 91:10-16, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon thee. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of thy days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 9:11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why should thou die before thy time? Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is Ephesians 6:1-3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God has promised long life, and he wants us to have long life. When Jesus was walking on the earth as a man, his ministry taught us a great deal about God's will for our healing and the power that we have through Jesus for our healing. Matthew 4:23-24. And Jesus went out about all Galilee, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8:2-3, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:5-10 and 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, My servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour that Jesus spoke. Matthew 8:14-17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 9:20-22. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. My note on this is that Jesus did not even know the woman was there. It was her faith and her words of her faith, spoken aloud, repeatedly, that brought her healing to her. And Jesus verifies that in what he said to her. Matthew 9:27-36. And when Jesus departed hence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He cast out spells, he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and praying the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That scripture there, my note is, shows the compassion that Christ had for us, and he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he has compassion for us now, for you now, for me now. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 14:13-14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. Matthew 14:34-36. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out all into the country around about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew 15:29-31. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into the mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with him them those who were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Our healing is for God's glory. My note. Mark 5:1-43. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he that had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had plucked asunder by him, had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I assure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto them, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirits. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all of the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what it was that had been done, and they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with a devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it told them how it befell to him, and that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was coming to their ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. While he yet spoke, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house certain ones which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, my note here is he put all the naysayers out of the house and would not listen to any negative talk. Then he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and that were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Katie Souza of www.expectedendministries.com has a wonderful teaching about this particular event in Christ's ministry. And so does Nassar Siddiqui of www.wisdomministries.com. I suggest that you go to those websites. Now, Mark 6, verses 53 through 56. "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And wheresoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." They all had the faith to touch him, and so they were all made well. Mark 7, verses 25 through 37. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." Note here that she was not Jewish. "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children," or note the Jews, "first be filled, for it is not meet or proper to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And he answered, and she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter." The note here is that through her faith, her daughter was healed, and through her persistence. Verse 31, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened." My note here is that Jesus sighed. He was weary at the devil's work. It is not his will for anyone to be passed over for healing. But anyway, in verse 35, he says, "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Perhaps, a note here is, perhaps Jesus was cautioning these people to not spread the word so that the Pharisees and the naysayers wouldn't show up and throw a wet blanket, so to speak, on the healing that he was doing. It was Jesus's obvious desire to heal as many people as he possibly could. And that did glorify God among the people who were healed. Mark 9:17-29. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with its teeth, and pines away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. The note here is, this is when Jesus and the two or three disciples that went with him to the Mount of Transformation are returning now from that mountain. And it says in some of the Gospels that the glory light was still shining on Jesus' face. They'd been off fasting, praying, and talking to some of the prophets of old. He answered them, him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought the boy unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming. Many people say that he was having an epileptic seizure, and the symptoms do fit. Verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? The father said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Remembering, my note here, remembering that Jesus had just come off the mountain of transformation. Luke 4:16-21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. This is, of course, at the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Luke 4, verses 33 through 36, and verses 40 and 41. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. I think it's interesting to note here that the demons knew who Jesus was, but the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees denied who Jesus was. Verse 35 goes on, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they had had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Luke 6:6-10. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking around about upon them, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Luke 6, verses 17-19. And he came down with him and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them. The note here is they had tremendous faith because they had seen healing. They saw healing. They knew the testimonies of healing, and those testimonies were prophesying to them of their own healing. Testimony becomes prophecy, because what God has done once, he will do again. Others have been healed, so we can be healed. They demonstrated through their testimonies. Luke 13, verses 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed over, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." We see here, my note is, that the Jewish leadership was so embedded in the law that they put the law over compassion. Jesus did not. In verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and let him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him, Jesus. The note here is that it's very important to notice that Jesus says this daughter of Abraham was bound by Satan for 18 years, demonstrating to us, teaching us that sickness can be embedded in sin, sin that makes soul wounds on us, that allows the enemy to have a place to attach. We don't know what the sin was, but we know that Satan had a legal right to bind this woman. Otherwise, he could not have done it. John 5, verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him. My note here is he started making excuses and speaking negatively, which may explain why he was infirm for 38 years. It could be a matter of attitude. I've heard it taught that way. But the man said, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He had made me whole, and the same said unto me, 'Take up my bed and walk.'" Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude was in the place. Afterward Jesus finds the man in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. John 9, verses 1 through 6. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark 16:15-20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working within them and confirming the words, and signs followed. This is after Jesus had been resurrected. This was his last words to his disciples. He gave them great power. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, and they would have the same powers that he has to do the same works that he has. He later told them to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, which means most teachers teach that disciples of today have the same healing power that Jesus had, and he gave it to us through his resurrection. Verily, verily, John 14, verses 12 through 15, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commands. Acts 6, verse 8, And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts 8, verses 6, 7, And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts 9, 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James 5, 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My note here is that we must believe and accept the healing that belongs to us in Christ. That's also Pastor Hagin's note. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus, the name above all names. Philippians 2:8-11. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1:16-23. Cease not to give thanks, for you making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory in his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him as his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now scriptures regarding the healing power in Jesus' name. John 16:23-24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. The note here is we are to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is not an invitation to handle snakes and drink poison. This is saying that the grace of God can protect us from those things when they happen to us in this fallen world. Sometimes sickness is caused by such things. Why is there healing in Jesus' name? Because Jesus belongs to us. He's already provided all that we need through the covenant made in his blood. John 14, 13 through 14 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Acts 3, 1 through 16. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together and unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Acts 4, 1 through 18, and verses 23, 24, 29, and 30. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." This is the same story continuing. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." They were imprisoning Peter and John. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were at the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that is, set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, By what power or what name have you done this?" The healing. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and they that had been with Jesus, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, to manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny that. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they, John and Peter, went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." And now, considering the faith of the person who needs the healing. Matthew 18:19. "Again I say unto you, that if two or more of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Mark 11:22-26. "Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." The Greek translation, according to Charles S. Price, a great Greek scholar and teacher, says that the real translation here is "have faith, have the faith of God." God kind of faith. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," remember mountains are problems, "and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, that things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's verse 24. Now here's an important part in verse 25. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." To have the faith of God means to hold no grudges, bitterness, unforgiveness against anyone. Romans 4:17-19-21. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he," Abraham, "considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah, his wife's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform." This is the story, this is my note, this is the story of Abraham when God visited him and told him that even though he and his wife were way past childbearing years, 100 years old, that they would, even though they were childless now, that he would be the father of many nations. And it took a long time, 20 years or so, before Isaac was born. And Abraham believed because he believed that God called that which was not as though it were. And if God spoke it, then it was there. It had already happened. And Abraham and Sarah just needed to wait patiently with faith until it manifested. Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." 1 Timothy 6:12. "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." In other words, be faithful and speak your faith. Speak it before many witnesses. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith means you believe it exists, but it just has not been manifested yet. And if it is in the Word of God, that is true. God's Word is God's will, and it is all true, not just part of it. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he that and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarding God. If we seek him in faith, diligently, persisting, not giving up, he rewards us. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's all they ask, is that you believe, that you confess that belief aloud. Here's some scriptures that show just how much God wants our physical bodies to be well. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Romans 8:2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John 4:4, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that is the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is the prince of this world. Jesus dwells in those who love him and believe in him, accepted him as their Savior. Through the Holy Spirit, he dwells in us. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. James 4:7, Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. My note here is resisting the devil is resisting the negative thoughts, resisting to believe only in what you see rather than in what God's Word says. If you stand up and take all thoughts captive, the devil will flee from you. All he has in his weapons are thoughts. Evil thoughts. We cannot take ownership of evil thoughts because it makes us fearful and worrisome and diminishes our faith. Faith and fear cannot coexist. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The scripture tells us fear is not of God. Faith is of God. Fear is of the devil. Hebrews 2, verses 14, 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death, that is the devil, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What Christ did for us, my note here, is he freed us from death, from the fear of death. Romans 6:14, For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under the grace. Grace is a gift from God. It is unmerited favor. You don't earn it, you get it because God loves you like crazy. And his word is unchanging. It was true when it was inspired to be written in the Bible, and it's true now. Matthew 4:4, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Jesus when he was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. He used the word of God to turn Satan away and overcome the temptation and the trials. Illness is a trial. We can use the word of God to overcome it. Matthew 8:16, When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. John 1:1-14, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My note here is Jesus is the Word made flesh. As verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Confessing God's word activates our faith. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye shall need patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. God's word, our word. Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the ill say, the sick say, I am healed. Because the Bible says that we are healed. Deuteronomy 28 is not included on this recording, but it is the law regarding choose life or choose to live under the curse, and it is by our obedience. That is under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. We live under the New Covenant, the New Testament, cut in Jesus' blood. But under the law, which covered every possible disease, then in Deuteronomy 28:61, the verse says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, then will the Lord either bring upon thee until thou be destroyed, or, of course, later on, it talks about the curse. And in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'm telling you this because verse 61 of Deuteronomy means that every possible existing or future disease has been covered by the blood of Christ through Galatians 3:13. So, write out your confession that according to Deuteronomy 28:61, your illness, and this is a suggestion of Pastor Hagen, whatever it is, cancer, whatever it is a curse of the law. Your illness is a curse of the law. But because of Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed you, put your name in, from the curse of the law. So confess that you're redeemed from cancer or whatever your disease is. It's pretty simple. The first thing is to confess that you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you believe that He is the Son of God, that He was crucified and raised, resurrected on the third day, that He sits at the right hand of God and He makes intercession for us, and that what He taught us is truth, because it is the Word of God. Bless you.